In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. There's notably fewer people here this morning. It probably has to do with the 3 inches, or is it 4 inches we got last night. Well, thank you all for braving the storm. And happy St. Crispin's Day. Yes, it's today. St. Crispin and Crispian, Roman martyrs, brothers. They were martyred, I think it was by Maximian, the emperor. They actually evangelized in France. They made shoes during the night and to support themselves, and they preached during the day. But this is a St. Crispin made famous by Shakespeare in his play Henry V. And this is the famous speech that he gives: "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. He who sheds his blood with me this day shall be called my brother." Right, the feast of St. Crispin. So that was Shakespeare wrote that play commemorating the English victory in 1415 at the Battle of Agincourt, part of the Hundred Years' War. It would be a victory that would last about 15 years until St. Joan of Arc came and gave them what for on the other side. Anyways. St. Crispin's Day, that is the feast today, or not the universal calendar, but is today's feast. The commemorated saint for today, St. Evaristus, is not actually who we're going to talk the most about. There's actually a very interesting life of Blessed Thaddeus McCarthy. He's got an interesting life, so we'll hear about him, but a little more about some other interesting saints commemorated for today. St. Evaristus, he is the fourth pope after St. Peter. He was from 99 to 107, was his papacy. And the three previous popes before him were Clement, Cletus, Linus, and then St. Peter, right, going back. So he was the fifth pope. During his papacy, the Apostle John died. John the Apostle died in about the year 100. And so Evaristus was that pope that went from the apostolic age, where God was still giving revelation to mankind, to the deposit of faith being closed. That was during Evaristus's papacy. He is credited with the first being, we would get dioceses and cardinals from Pope Evaristus. They didn't call him that at the time, but what he did, that's what they became. So it was during his papacy that he divided Rome into districts and said, okay, this church, this priest, you're going to be here, and you're going to be here, and anybody living in this area, you're going to go to this parish. So he was dividing it into those regions. Eventually, that would become called dioceses, like as I mentioned. And the priests whom he put in charge, they were given titles. And, this is your titular church, this is the where you're going to go. And the other word for title is cardinal, like the cardinal numbers or the cardinal virtues. They're the main virtues of which other virtues hang. And that's what happened with these cardinal churches and these cardinal priests, is that as they would grow, other places would be attached onto them. So that's where what St. Evaristus did in founding the church. He is credited as being a martyr. He's listed in the Roman Martyrology, but we have no record of how he died. But he is commemorated today because it's important for us to know how we got here, right? How did the church develop? We take it for granted that we have dioceses and cardinals. Where did that begin? Well, now we know a little bit more. St. Evaristus was the first one to get things going. Other important saints to know for today is 40 English martyrs are commemorated today. These are the ones that suffered under King Henry VIII. They were all martyred at different times, but collectively the English martyrs are commemorated today. Among them is Margaret Clitheroe and St. Edmund Campion, familiar names. Also today, St. Tabitha, if we recall that. She is the one mentioned in Acts chapter 9. And St. Peter raised her from the dead. She was ministering to widows. She made them coats and cloaks, and she fell sick and died. They called St. Peter, who was in a nearby town. He came and raised her from the dead. And the fame of the Lord spread throughout, and many people were converted. So good to remember, right? We read these names in the Gospels, in the Bible. Where are they in our calendar? Now we know a little more. St. Tabitha. But I think the most interesting saint for today is not even a saint, he's blessed, Blessed Thaddeus McCarthy. He was an Irish bishop in the 15th century who he was ordained a bishop, he was given a see, but he never actually exercised his ministry. He was always either in exile or in political wranglings. So what happened is he was born in Ireland, and he went to Rome, and he studied and was ordained a priest, and was a very young man, 20, 26, 27, 28, and he was appointed bishop of the city of Ross back in Ireland. So he goes back to his hometown, only to find that the previous bishop, O'Driscoll, hadn't actually died. He was still alive. So now there were two bishops in the same place. And so this was whether, you know, this O'Driscoll, whether a false report of his death had been sent to Rome, or it was a mistake, or who knows what. But for the next 8 years, the McCarthys and the O'Driscolls were kind of going at it, right? Does that sound familiar, right? Irish fighting among themselves? No way. So they're going back and forth, and Thaddeus himself, he probably is not too interested in this political involvement, but you know, being a young man, he probably thinks, okay, I should do this, I should exert, you know, I was appointed by the Pope. So he ends up at one point excommunicated by Innocent III, which he was later cleared. But to end the dispute after 8 years, the next Pope named him Bishop of Cork. So he left Ross, he left the whole thing behind, he ends up going to Cork, and he's just going to just forget it and be bishop here. When he arrives, it turns out that the bishop, the neighboring bishop, Fitzgerald, had usurped this diocese as his own. So he gets to Cork, and now Fitzgerald says, no, this is my diocese, you can't be here either. So now he's in the same boat again, and he just decides to quit. It's just, it's not worth it. He went to the cathedral, and there were armed supporters of the other bishop preventing him from entering. So he just is forget it all. And his family wanted him to fight. They said, no, we've got this Lord, and he'll support us, and we can put up an armed resistance. And he says, no, absolutely not, no way. So Bishop Thaddeus, after 8 years, or maybe even 9 years at this point, never actually having sat in a cathedral, never having exercised his episcopacy, sets out for Rome. And he goes back, he meets the Pope, pleads his case, and the Pope gives him strong orders to the local lords in Ireland to support him. Go take control of the city of Cork. So Bishop Thaddeus McCarthy decides it's too dangerous for him to return the normal route to Ireland, so he sets out on foot dressed as a pilgrim, and he's visiting holy shrines along the way. And 14 weeks later, he arrives in a town in northern Italy. And this is the evening of 24 October. This is going to be the year 1492. And he's dressed in a coarse habit. He was very weak and worn out by fatigue. And the innkeeper gives him a hospitable welcome, gives him a place to rest for the night. And he's in northern Italy. This is the Alps. And he's a long way off from Ireland. But the next morning, on they find him dead. They didn't actually know what had happened. They saw a light shining from his room. They come in, and there's Bishop Thaddeus in his bed. They have no idea who he is. He looks like a pilgrim, this worn-out pilgrim. But they search, and they find these papal letters and a bishop's ring. And so they call the local bishop and say, "What should we do with this guy? Is he, did he rob a bishop, or what's going on?" Well, that night the bishop had a dream, and he'd seen this strange man dressed in bishop's robes going up to heaven. And then he comes and he finds his body, and he says, "This is the man I saw in my dream. This man is a bishop." So he took him back to his cathedral. He laid him out in his own bishop's robes and had him lying in state there in the cathedral. And when the townspeople heard of it, they all flocked to come and see this wandering beggar bishop. And then they buried him, and all sorts of miracles started happening. So until this day, there's this town in northern Italy that has Bishop Thaddeus McCarthy as their patron saint. And in fact, he was they uncovered the body in the 1700s, and it was found to be incorrupt. So this is actually a kind of a friendship between the people of Cork and the people of this town. The town was called, I think Ivrea is the name of the town. But in 1847, these Italians sent a great deal of money to Cork to help out with the famine that was going on in Ireland at the time. And they also asked for any historical information anybody in Cork had on this Bishop McCarthy, whom they didn't know anything about. He was just a wandering pilgrim. So there's this friendship that goes back and forth between this Irish and Italian city, and they end up jointly petitioning Pope Leo XIII to make him declare him blessed, which he does in, I believe it was 1896. And so at that time, the Italian town sends some of the relics of Bishop McCarthy back to Cork, Ireland. So quite an interesting little story there of a blessed we may never have heard of, Blessed Thaddeus McCarthy. And it shows that that's what the Catholic faith does, right? It unites people, it unites countries that otherwise would have had nothing to do with each other. A small Italian town, this Irish city, how are they going to get to know each other? This bishop, who dealt with his exile very well. He was supposed to be the bishop twice. He never got to exercise it. And he died as a humble pilgrim, unknown, on the road, worn out from his labors, right? That is what our faith does for us, is we don't have to have, you know, even our legitimate claims. This is mine by right. I was appointed by the Pope. You owe this to me. You have to give this to me. That doesn't work, right? That's not the attitude we are supposed to have. That is not the attitude of Christ. You know, he traveled to Rome, he went on foot, he prayed, he did everything he could to exercise his episcopacy, but he wasn't worried about it, right? It wasn't a matter of pride. It was a matter of, okay, I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to try in every charitable way possible, but nothing further, right? That is what we're supposed to do, right? Try to do it, but not if it means sin or, pride or anything else getting involved like that. So quite a number of saints for today, kind of like a little smorgasbord here of Pope Evaristus and Bishop McCarthy and English martyrs and all kinds of things. This is what we mean when we talk about the richness of faith. Is it so rich? There's so much to learn, so much to know. We can spend our lifetimes and never exhaust everything there is, right? And that's part of the manifestation of God himself. He's infinite. There will always be more to know, even in heaven. We'll never stop learning something new about God. And that's what we should spend our time doing, spiritual reading and reading about the saints and reading about, you know, the catechism on this life, because it just whets our appetite for more and more knowledge about God, more of his love, which will never end. It's a foretaste of heaven, right? So thanks be to God. And let us ask for the intercession of the saints that one day we might be numbered among them. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.